Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome back to Corolla Classics. Let's get going with another clip now. A couple weeks ago, I went and did a trending topics segment where I previewed the upcoming Munsters movie, which is directed by Rob Zombie. And we talked a little bit about Rob Zombie. Didn't have a ton of great things to say. At least I didn't. Got a little bit of flack from it from the fans that enjoy the horror genre. And as I said, I don't mind if you guys like it. I'm not saying that you're wrong. It just isn't for me. So
Chris reads Wikipedia entries for horror films to spoil himself.
I really do. I like the stories. I don't care for the gore, the violence all the time. I have a weak stomach. So
what? You eat purple things from inside of sea bugs.
Oh, not physically. It's more of a mental thing. Yeah. Oh, physically, my stomach could handle, could actually handle an actual stabbing. But right now, yeah. If I see too much violence, though, I'm not that good. So
I could probably be stabbed. I could take anything in a movie. But if you try to feed me something purple from the side of a sea bug and get within like 6 feet of me, I'm either passing out or projectile vomiting on you. I'm going full original George Bush.
How is a sea bug prepared? Deep fried?
Boiled? I have no idea. I don't want to know. It's up to you,
doesn't
man.
Matter.
You're,
well,
you're
really
the guy that sous vides them at work.
I am in. All right. Well, anyway, let's get going with a clip from 2014 where Rob Zombie actually called into the show.
This is actually his debut on the ACS after appearing on Loveline and calling in the morning show. This is Adam Cole Show 1407. Ron Nehring, not in this portion. Rob Zombie, phoner in this portion, calls in the middle of a Q&A. So it's a couple questions before Rob. Rob comes in, fun little chat, then we get another question, and it's a nice chunk of the show. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, let's take a phone call here. Eric, 35, Atlanta. I feel like this has happened to us our last
three or four. We
struck
out yesterday with the phones.
Phone calls. Eric, are you there? It's part of me that thinks that maybe this is on our end, since this is what is continuing to happen to us on a regular basis.
Feels like when we pick up, you can hear the caller hanging up. So
yes.
Maybe they can't hear us.
I'm going to internalize.
This should totally be working right now.
All right. Well, if Dawson emphasized the word totally, then you know it's going to work. Okay. Eric, all right. Eric's question on line five is, what is Adam's favorite gay porn name?
How do you choose?
Colonel Duke LaCrosse.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it was a little more relevant a few years back, but
I disagree.
Okay.
I guess more and more relevant every day. Colonel's good, too.
I do.
Colonel
like...
suggests old-timey.
Yes.
A little fae.
Okay.
Yeah.
Colonel Duke.
A southern dandy.
Yeah. Colonel Duke LaCrosse. All right, we'll just go up the board. Mark?
Hey, Pat.
50, Detroit. What's going on, Mark?
Love you guys. Ball, how you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
All right. Hey, so I took my daughter in for her well checkup this past weekend. She's 12. And the doctor, in filling out the form, was asking a question. Does she get 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, yes or no? I circled no, because she doesn't. I don't know what kid does. And the doctor looked at me like she was ready to take my kid away from me.
I know. First off, we have to quantify what is a serving of fruits and vegetables. I don't know anyone who has 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day.
No, I try to eat pretty healthy, and 5 servings is... You have to make it a point. You have to have a salad for, you know, a meal or something like that.
Yeah, but 5?
Yeah, that's what I mean. 5, I don't think a serving is very big.
No, that's my whole point. I think you could have a ketchup packet and it would count as one serving of one vegetable, at least according to Ronald Reagan. But either way, it's insane. And then also, again, I don't. First off, every fucking thing is genetics. Just about everything is genetics in terms of kids and health and all that kind of stuff. And then I woke up this morning. My son was eating frosted covered flakes. I just like, it's part of me just wants to say to my wife, my daughter like just eats pancakes for breakfast, you know, and it's like that's essentially just eating a piece of pie for breakfast. Like that is just nothing but carbohydrates, empty calories, and then there's syrup,
butter.
There's butter, and then there's just syrup on top of it. That's not breakfast. Mm-hmm. You need like an egg, or there's got to be some protein or something. It's like she likes pancakes. Oh, okay, I don't know what the fuck to do. And everyone seems healthy and everyone seems happy.
Yeah, at least slip some wheat germ or some sort of fiber in there to kind of make it a little healthier, I guess.
I don't know how it works. Either way, these doctors all need to fucking blow us. They're fucking...
That's what you should have suggested, Mark.
Yeah, five servings.
Exactly.
Yeah, and also, really, they're just essentially asking you to lie. Now, what's your daughter going at age 12? What is she going in for?
Just a well checkup, flu shot, you know, school starting, that whole thing.
They get flu shots at 12, huh?
Well, much younger than that, too. I mean, she's been getting it for the last few years, but at her mother's behest. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some people that are healthy, some people seem to be sick, and I never get a flu shot. I'm a bad example of everything. I just know every time a study comes out about the latest ones with all the hand sanitizers and all that kind of stuff. As I said, I just yesterday was watching my wife spray the fruit cleaner onto the apple she was going to give to Sonny. It was like, ch-ch-ch-ch. It's a little spray bottle. Looks like a Windex bottle. It's got a horn of plenty on it, you know, and it's
green apple spilling out.
And I said, well, what are you doing with that stuff? And she said, I'm cleaning the apple. And I said, it's just water with like a little scent in it or something. You got a sink. It's right there. Just clean it off.
Do rinse your vegetables and fruits, people, but don't. Oh yeah, the fruit cleaner thing is maybe a little dubious.
I want to know what's in that fucking.
What is in the fruit cleaner?
I can tell you. 99% of it is water.
Maybe a little like lemon juice or citrus.
A little scent, a little bit of coloring. Again, you have to have people with a fairly feeble mind try to pretend like it's doing something. Mm-hmm. So there's a little something. It's all the fucking creams and all the fucking gels and all the ointments and all the everything. It's just such a fucking waste of time. All right, Mark, good luck with that little princess of yours.
Thanks, Ace.
Thanks. Rob Zombie's on the phone. Rob?
Yeah.
Hey, good to speak to you, man.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I just caught the end of that, the creams and the gels and the lotions. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, what I'm saying, and I've always said, and someone with your head of hair, that's going to be interesting. I said, I don't really use soap. I don't use sanitizer. I don't use shampoo. I once a day or four times a week, I take a hot shower and I rinse myself off. And that's about it. And I don't get zits and I don't get oily hair and I don't get anything. I just take a hot rinse. And all the shampoos and all the scrubbing and all the Purell and all the hand sanitizing, I don't think it's working. For anybody. I think it's making us worse. But Rob Zombie, what do you do with your hair? How do you maintain that?
Well, maintain it, yeah. I mean, I don't really do much. I mean, the same thing you basically said, wash it, but I do use soap. But I agree with you. I think that, I take it as far as I think toothpaste is made to give you cavities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think all these products are made to, you know, lotions are made to dry out your skin. Chapstick is made to dry out your lips. I think it's all a scam, you know.
Right. The more
I knew a family growing up that they would only let their kids brush their teeth with water because the mom was convinced that toothpaste gave you cavities, and no one in the family ever had a cavity, and they only used water to brush their teeth their whole lives.
So
I think you're right. It's all a scam.
I've always said this: the more chapstick you use, the more you need. You can go your entire life without using chapstick, or you can reach for it 25 times a day for the rest of your life. It just depends. It breeds dependency.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Rob, new film.
I never use it.
Sorry.
And, yeah. I'm sorry, I never use it, and I'm out in the freezing cold all day long, shoveling snow, doing stuff. There's no chapped lips. It's all, you know, it's all bullshit.
Rob's crowdfunding his new film, 31. There's 19 days left to contribute to the film. What is the new film about?
It's a real simple premise. You know, I was just looking for something really simple and self-contained to do this time. And I was, like, two ideas came to mind. Last Halloween, I ran this Halloween event in California called The Great American Nightmare. And I was watching these guys that were dressed up as, like, sort of, like, scary, bloody clowns chasing people around with chainsaws and stuff. And I couldn't believe the reaction people were having. They were so terrified that I thought it was hilarious. I just kind of made a mental note of that.
Sure.
And then I was doing some research and realized that Halloween is the biggest day of the year where people go missing.
Oh, really?
I'll just put those... Yeah, I didn't know that. I just saw that in some statistic. And I was like, I'll just put those two ideas together and turn it into a movie about, you know, five random people that are kidnapped on Halloween and forced to fight for their lives in this sort of most dangerous game situation. And I just added in the fact that the homicidal maniacs that are trying to kill them are dressed like, you know, bloody clowns, just so it would have some visual pizzazz.
So there's 19 days left to contribute to the film. The website is rz-31.com. Once you get the money, how many days is the shoot? And then when do you think the thing comes out? And is it a direct-to-video? Does it get distribution? Or are these all questions we're going to have to answer in 9 months?
They're all, I mean, if all goes according to plan, the shoot would be right after Christmas, because I don't want to, you know, I would wait for the Christmas and all the holidays to be done, so I don't have to deal with that. So probably start February. And as far as coming out, you know, logically it would probably be this time next year, but, you know, I'm not sure if it'll be done by then. And as far as the distribution angle, I don't even know sometimes if I, you know, it sounds like a cop-out, but because with my last film, I was like, no, it has to go theatrical. We have to do theatrical, you know, and we just did it on like 600 or 700 screens. And after I did that, I realized I should have never done that. If I had gone direct to video, I would have made a fortune. You know?
Yeah, no, I know. Don't,
sometimes it's,
don't get in business with the Weinsteins. That's my first piece of advice.
Well, you know, that wasn't a Weinstein movie, the last one. The Weinstein movies are still, you know, the budget's 15, it grosses $80 million, but you're still in the red on that one. But
right.
But even just, you know, because, like, there's such a stigma about direct-to-video or whatever, VOD, but it seems like every month that goes by, it erodes.
No, I absolutely agree. There was a joke. I'll tell you what it's tantamount to. It's tantamount to when we were kids, the big joke was made in Japan. Now you don't want to buy a car unless it's made in Japan. But it used to be a slight. Then direct-to-video used to be a slight, and now it's going the same way as made in Japan, which is plenty of movies are doing it with plenty of people, A-list celebrities involved as well.
Yeah, and you know, but with the film, you know, like with the Hammer, with smaller films, it's like by the time you go theatrical and you add in all the prints and the marketing, your little movie now costs a fortune. So now you have to stand behind all, you know, your $2 million movie is now a $15 million movie or whatever. Whereas you go VOD and you're making money from dollar one. And now there's a couple movies like Snowpiercer and some other ones that have just exploded on VOD. And I just think the stigma is eroding so fast that I don't know. I don't even know if I want theatrical. I mean, I could probably get it, but I'm not even sure if I want them anymore.
What kind of promises are you making your donors or contributors to 31?
I mean, I'm not making them too crazy, because at first it was easy to come up with stuff like, I'll come to your house and cook you dinner and we'll talk on the phone every night. And I'm like, that's going to seem like a bad idea in 60 days.
Yeah.
So most of it's like, because I talked to other people who had done stuff, and I actually wanted to ask you, you know, because they were like, oh my God, fulfilling these things has been a nightmare, because you do so, you know, you promise so many things. So most of the stuff is pretty simple. There's a few things like being extra, come down to the set, hang out, you know, stuff like that that people are going to do anyway. But most of it's like, you know, T-shirts, DVDs, or rare posters, or different, you know, donate this and get that.
Right.
It's a little easier. Because my big fear is that you take people's money and you offer, you're supposed to fulfill something, and somewhere along the line it gets fucked up and you're like, oh, you know, no one else cares because you're the one who looks like an asshole at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, I found myself doing stand-up in a guy's living room in the Palisades on a Friday night. It's weird doing stand-up in someone's living room with, you know, 11 people standing around. But, yes.
To be fair, those are big living rooms up there, so it felt like a small club.
It had a cathedral ceiling. But, yeah, we made, I think, every single one of our backers gets a credit. So now that we're finishing our film, our credits have 13,000 people that need to be named. I know it sounds funny, but it's no joke.
How many guys' names?
Your credit sequence is 10 minutes long at the end of the movie.
We're going to try to get it down to 10, yes.
How many Harry Seaward are there?
Yeah, so it's a little weird uncharted world, and you just sort of go from person to person who's done it before, and you go, what worked and what do you wish you hadn't done? And that's kind of the way you figure it out.
Yeah, because I looked at a couple, like I looked at your campaign, I look at Penn Jillette's and Spike Lee's and the Veronica Mars, and I was like looking at things and like something like, oh, I'll leave your message on your answering machine. That sounds great until you have to leave 1,000 answering machine messages or something.
Right.
And maybe I'll skip that idea.
You do think maybe I'll skip that idea, but then you think, well, maybe I'll be skipping $100,000 that could be going into my film.
It's a tough call. You don't know what to do. I mean, and then the other thing that nobody takes into account is you can only have, I mean, when you're on set working, you're actually working. Like, you don't have time to do anything.
Right.
So you can't exactly have, like, tour groups going through every second that they've paid so much money that you have to constantly entertain them, because as much fun as that might be, you just don't have time to do it. Because, you know how it is when a movie set, the clock seems to speed up so fast.
How many days do you think this shoot will be for 31?
Well, I'm trying to, I want to keep it at least, I would like to get 29. I'm hoping to keep it at least 25, because when it gets under 25, that's pretty hard to do.
Right.
I did my last movie in 20, and that was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah. And yeah, because I tell people all the time, you know, people always think the budget is about visual effects or about getting big name celebrities. It's really about time. It's about how many days can you shoot? How much time do you have in each location versus hurry up, pack it up, move it on, you know, take the circus, and or the compromise of just going, we're not going to get this shot today. We don't have the time to do it. We're going to have to move on. But if you get a little more money, you can buy yourself a couple of more days and breathe a little bit when you're making your film. Are you, Rob,
there's a huge difference between 20 days and 25 days, too, if you're working.
Absolutely. Are you ever looking toward doing stuff outside of this genre? Do you think about drama? Do you think about comedy?
Yeah, I do all the time. I was, for the last 2 years, what actually sort of inspired 31 was, for 2 years before 31, I had been involved in trying to get this movie made about the Philadelphia Flyers called The Broad Street Bullies.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2 years working on that, and it just went on and on and on. It's really hard when you're doing, like, real-life rights of the real team and the, you know, NHL and all the players. And after 2 years, I was like, God damn, you know, this could go on for 5 more years, and still maybe the movie won't get made. So I was like, I just got to come up with an easy idea that I know people will like and go for that. Because my next film that I have, I bought the rights to a book, and I can't announce it yet, but it's not horror. It's 100% in the opposite, 180 degrees in the opposite direction. The next thing I'm going to do.
Well, this thing is called 31. There's 2.5 weeks left to contribute, 19 days left to contribute to the film. RZ-31.com is where you go. You can tweet Rob at Rob Zombie. And since you're talking about shoveling snow, I'm guessing you're not in L.A., but next time you're in L.A., Rob, come by the studio and say hi in person.
I would definitely love to, but I have one question for you. What was the most successful reward in your campaign that you did?
You mean, like, what got us the most in return?
Well, just like what you put up that the people reacted to the best that they wanted. Was there anything in particular?
Dick pics.
Dick pics. I think, I'm trying to think. I mean, the T-shirts and the posters and stuff are, you know, definitely the stuff you're going to do the most in volume.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know. I'd have to go online and kind of look at it and see which ones sold the most and which ones people responded to the most, because it is one of these things where you have no idea that they're going to respond so positively to one thing and so underwhelmingly to another. So I can't remember which one exactly, but I think anything that was personal, unfortunately, meaning Rob Zombie comes to your town and shows a screening of 31 in your local theater where he's there. That's unfortunately the more they want a pound of zombie flesh.
Yeah.
Those Sorry.
Those are the ones that seem like a good idea now, and then next year you go, oh, my God, am I going to get to Omaha?
That's right. That's right where I am right now. Thanks, Rob.
All right, thanks, Adam. Have a good one.
Talk to you soon. What an interesting guy, Rob Zombie. He's basically just a filmmaker now.
Multifaceted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Successful music career, successful directing career.
His brother had that band called
Power Man 5000.
3000, 5000.
Power Man something. I'm going to say 5000.
And
well,
then
I don't know.
There's his third brother, the Wall Street guy, Kelly Zombie.
Dave Zombie. Oh, yeah.
Alison Rosen.
I'm here, yes. I'm so sorry that I was not here at the beginning of the show.
That's fine. We started a little early. I know you had a doctor's appointment.
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about that?
I will be having a procedure coming up,
mm-hmm.
which conveniently, never mind where I was going with that.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird way to start my presence on the show today. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have to have some fibroids removed. I mentioned mm-hmm. that, right?
Yes.
And then we
try... What is the definition of a fibroid?
I think it's... I don't actually know the definition. I think it's like muscle material mm-hmm. growing mm-hmm. where it shouldn't be, either inside or outside of the uterus.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, it's inside, and they think mm-hmm. that's what's preventing me from getting pregnant,
mm-hmm.
or they hope. So they take that out.
Mm-hmm. I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, it's super gross. It's like I have a uterus full of rocks.
Weren't we all just... sort of meant to get pregnant at 13.
Yes.
Isn't that just what God wanted?
I've written about this feeling that my body does not give one shit about what my personality and my brain wants me to do with my career and my life and everything. Like my body, I feel like for women who have fibroids and endometriosis and all of that stuff, Oftentimes they say that if you had gotten pregnant young, that could have prevented it. It's like your body just goes haywire because you didn't get pregnant at the time you're supposed to.
No, really, the way God planned it is you pull out your first tampon and put in your first dick. I mean, that should go in a license plate frame. But I mean,
that's what I did.
Biologically, that's kind of what he's saying. Because everybody I know who's waited, including myself, but just everybody who did the, I want to get my career on track, mm-hmm. I want to finish my education.
I just want to be in the right place.
Yeah. God just socks you right in the puss.
It's interesting, though, when you think about what it means that people are having kids later and later. Like, grandparents will become a thing of the past.
Mm.
But I think, and mm-hmm. do you agree that it is probably better for the kids that you have them, you know, when you're established as opposed to 14?
Abso-fucking-lutely. I mean, the life that my kids have and that I can offer my children now as opposed to a 24-year-old Adam Carolla would have been, when I was 24, it'd be like, all right, you got an inflatable mattress and some top ramen. You're fucking good, right? I'll have this plastic owl watch you while I go out and drink. Like, I mean, are you kidding? There'd be no insurance. They'd be driving in the back of a pickup truck, like duct taped down to a fender. I mean, it's not even It's not even close.
So then when are we going to evolve, and probably never is the answer, to the point where health-wise, it is good to have kids later?
Well, I wonder if, because it's this weird thing where you go, you know, girls are starting their periods earlier and earlier. We remember that whole thing we blamed on McDonald's?
Yes.
By the way.
Or on soy milk.
You got to feel bad if you're McDonald's, because every time somebody, something bad happens and no one can explain it, they're like, fucking must be McDonald's, right? Dolphins are beaching themselves. McDonald's,
that's
right?
We found a Happy Meal toy in one of their blowholes.
Yeah. Every time there's a problem that's vexing us, there's a fucking meteor that's heading toward the planet. Fucking Mayor McCheese. He better get his shit together. Like, every time we there's
fucking
some
grimace.
Every, there's a problem, we just go, McDonald's. We just blame everything on McDonald's. It's great.
They serve so many.
They really are everything that the man personified with the beef and the fucking
fast and easy.
The big corporate everything. And they're just like, so it was like, it seemed like it was about 15, 20 years ago. It's like, girls are starting their periods earlier. And everyone's like, McDonald's. Yeah.
Just makes sense.
Scientists sitting around. There must be a big sign of like the Golden Arches that's up in the science lab. It's like, if we can't explain something scientifically, we go to the Arches. And no one ever defends McDonald's. No one ever goes, that's bullshit.
Yeah, who's blaming the person who's like, does that make any sense?
Fuck that, it's Burger King. Like, nobody does that. Everyone's
most of our scientific breakthroughs come at the lunch break.
Yeah, everyone's like sitting around eating a quarter pounder going, oh, wait a minute, I think I have an idea. And they're just looking up at the Golden Arches. But, yeah, the girls were having their periods at a younger age. Or this was a big to-do. And by the way, I was just watching bullshit with our friend Penn Jillette and the teller as well. And they were talking about secondhand smoke and what bullshit secondhand smoke was. Who the fuck knows if all the shit. We now know that half the shit we're talking about is 90% of that. I mean, 90% of the news stories are bullshit once we start scratching around a little bit. So God knows what we were fed 15 years ago before we had the internet, before there's any information. It was just, evening news says McDonald's causes. But McDonald's was causing, because of the hormones in the meat, was causing the girls to have their periods earlier. So now the periods are going one direction, and the age, life expectancy is going the other. So 100 years from now, girls will be starting their period at age 2.5 and will be living to 117.
It's the tampon industry that benefits.
Big T.
Yes.
Yeah, and big P
and
as
big
well.
Big P, right.
So
there's also big C, which is a cup.
Well,
that's a thing that some people recommend.
I was going to say, stop being so self-deprecating.
Seriously. It's not that bad, Allison.
So what I'm saying is this. and what would be nice is if, as the life expectancy goes from, you know, turn of the century, 44 years old for a female, to my daughter looking forward to 91, what would be nice is if the prime fertile years sort
shift
of
shift as well.
Yes, move in accordance.
Right.
But I don't think that's happening.
I don't think it is either.
Which is going to fuck our shit up.
Yeah. What's happening is science is allowing people to get pregnant later and later. I would like our bodies just to move in that direction by themselves.
I concur. All right. Couple more questions. We have our guest here. Let's see. Line one. Brandon?
Braden.
Brayden.
Braden.
Braden.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Braden.
You know, like Jaden.
Sorry.
Braden.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry. I have this, like, auto-correct, spell-correct thing in my head. When I see a name that looks new, I just turn it into one that I'm familiar with. So Braden becomes Brandon. Anyway, Braden.
Well, I'm the original Braden. Yeah, I'm the original Braden because I'm now 44. Now Bradens are sprouting up everywhere, so call me a pioneer, or my mom a pioneer.
I shall.
The question is, I want to get your opinion on roadside memorials. What do you think about it when you're driving down the road and you see the cross, the candles and the flowers lined up where someone was unfortunately ended their life.
Is it a turn on?
Yeah, I'll often masturbate by the side. I like it better than the rolling memorial that's on the back of the pickup truck. I oftentimes wonder what went on that corner. My motorcycle usually leaps to mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a drive-by. I have seen that, and I don't know what the protocol or etiquette is on cleanup. Because, like, eventually the guy who owns the liquor store that's on that corner has to go... has to go get the Virgin Guadalupe candles out of the front of his fucking parking lot. Like, at what point does he mop up? You know what I mean? Like, they've been dead for a week, you know.
Where's the guilt? Even Cosby, I think, still has his roadside memorial up there on Sepulveda Drive.
Ennis Cosby?
Yeah, Ennis Cosby. Remember when he was shot and killed by that foreigner?
Yes.
Bill Cosby's son.
And by the way, he's allowed to say foreigner because the guy was Russian.
That's right.
They're cool.
Was he Russian? I didn't know if he was Russian or Bulgarian. I don't know. Or Ukrainian.
Oh, whatever. No. White trash.
So you name every Soviet bloc country.
That guy.
Do you ever remove him?
That guy. Okay. Couple of things.
Braden's worked up.
Yeah. All right. I would say the same thing about the roadside memorials I say that's on the back of the pickup truck in the window that is lamenting the loss of young Chewy. You're depressing the fuck out of me. So knock it off, number one. Number two, somebody you love died. I think almost everybody could make that claim, right? But we don't weave it into every conversation and every fucking rear window or corner along the roadside. The Ennis Cosby thing was up at Skirball Center off the 405. I must have been 96. I remember very clearly. Gary will look it up. I think 1996, and it was about midnight or 10 after or 12, 15 after midnight. I remember it very clearly because I used to drive home from Loveline up and over the 405 pass over the Skirball Center, and I would leave Culver City. Mm-hmm. This is when I was living in an apartment in Toluca Lake. I would leave Culver City 12:05 and must have been driving the car up and over the 405 about the time Ennis Cosby was being executed up on Mulholland or Skirball.
Interesting.
Above me.
And your story is you're in the car, huh?
Oh, no, wait a minute. I was
that's your story?
Yes. Says about 1 a.m., but I heard possibly earlier. Or his car broke down. He was changing a flat. The fucking scumbag that shot him, and I'm not sure where he is, he worked at a place called Mainly Seconds.
Scumbag foreigner, Adam.
Foreigner. Mm-hmm. Who was the Mainly Seconds guy was Mainly Seconds was a pottery place that was on Magnolia Boulevard that was up this just literally block away from where I grew up, and I had friends that worked at that place. This guy was some sort of, you know, I don't know, Eastern Bloc guy. Mm-hmm. And I think he just walked up to Ennis Cosby, who was like changing his tire, and said, like, give me your wallet, and the guy said, like, no, or here, or whatever, and he just put a bullet in his head. And, he's from the Ukraine. And I've often theorized, I wonder if, and I know this guy was a thug. He came to the U.S. in 1989. I don't know if he's part of a gang or what his deal was. I often theorized, and I thought about this, and you guys tell me what you think. When you come from a place, like this guy comes from a place where it's just blue-eyed people, you just don't have any black people, I wonder if it makes it easier to kill a black person. I wonder if it's
easier to dehumanize someone, to not value like life,
This is not one of us. This is not what we've grown. I mean, meaning, if you grow up in a place where there's black guys in your high school, they're on your team, you're interacting with them, you're socializing with them. If you're from the Ukraine and you see a black guy by the side of the road, I wonder if he doesn't count as much as if he was another blue-eyed guy, like you grew up next door and was your best buddy growing up.
Do you think all Ukrainians are racist?
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, extrapolate that.
No, I just this was a situation where he just shot him dead for no real real reason, and all of it's senseless. But this was just he was a gang. He was in a racist gang.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and before all this happened, he'd spent 6 months in a juvenile correctional facility because him and a buddy took two African American men at knife point and I guess robbed them.
You know what we need to do? We need to tell the African American community. I think a lot of the racists are imported.
Mm-hmm. These are not domestic racists.
Yeah, because you're a bald white guy.
I am.
He was probably a bald white guy.
Oh, shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, now I'm lumped in the same category.
That's what I'm saying.
I did not kill Ennis Cosby, nor any black man for that matter.
That's my point. But the day is young. All right, and would that have been later in 1996? Because I think I started Loveline sometime around 1996, and I seem to recall still being in my apartment at that time, so it would have been early on. But anyway, now Brandon's upset about it. Braden. Sorry, Your
okay,
Highness.
Alan.
I'll just call you Your Highness.
Thank you.
Your Highness, there's still an Ennis Cosby roadside memorial?
There's still an Ennis Cosby roadside memorial, and on Route 46, there is still a James Dean memorial and a gas station called Last Stop. Have you went through there? You drive through there and you go to Laguna Seca.
Wow,
that's true, but that's different. That's a guy who's selling gas and jerky and wants your business. That's why he has a big picture of James Dean at the last intersection he was in on the way to Laguna Seca, although I think the racetrack, although I think James Dean was heading to another racetrack called Button Willow, which is on the way. Your Highness.
Do we have a future of roadside memorials just like we have a future of airplanes filled with comfort animals?
Quiet.
Oh, yeah. Somebody just tweeted me that another plane had to be diverted because a comfort animal shit up a plane. Here's what I would like. And you know I don't like big government, but here's what I would like. I would simply like government-sanctioned roadside memorials, biodegradable, and they would be good for 10 to 12 days, and then they would decompose.
Turn into mulch.
They turn into a mulch. That's right. The way the loved one would have.
Nice.
No.
Biodegradable candles should be on the market.
Yes. Thank you, Your Highness. I'm trying to hang up on him.
Or is he obsessed with roadside memorials to the point where I wonder if he's coming out with a coffee table book or something?
It is, again, it's a
he
weird.
He knew a lot of trivia.
The candles are a weird thing because it's fire that's kind of out in the street or next to the street.
Next to a bunch of paper and stuff.
It's not the kind of stuff you
glass.
Could get away. In a world where if you light up a cigarette out in the patio of a restaurant, they tell you to move it on down the sidewalk, we can have 9 of the Virgin Guadalupe candles parked outside of the street. I think because there's some grieving involved, we move on.
They'll let that go.
All right.
I was in a cab back from LAX once and driving on Lincoln Boulevard, which for those out of town, it's a long stretch of street that's kind of like a highway, but it's still a street, so people kind of drive pretty fast down it. And I'm in a cab and I see a big roadside memorial, like one of the big, like, picture, and like it was a big thing, so it was either very recent or I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, look at that. Oh, something happened over there. Cab driver freaked out. It's like, fuck that guy. Fuck him. Sorry for my language, but fuck that man. It was a cop who apparently loved giving tickets to taxi drivers speeding to and from the airport on Lincoln Boulevard.
Wow.
It was a cop who was well known for this. The taxi driver was not in mourning. He was very happy to see that man die. And he shared his opinion with me and then apologized but kept yelling, I'm sorry, but fuck him. Okay.
Wow.
I will do brain... One better. I'm tired of the memorial exchange intersection on the highway of the cop that died.
That, like the sign, the permanent memorial sign?
Yes, that bums me out a little bit because I'm just thinking about a dead cop as I'm going from the exchange of the 110 to the 10, and I'm just staring at that thing. And it's also, nobody ever calls it that. It just is a huge sign, and I get it. People die in the line of duty. That's kind of comes with the territory when you sign up for being a cop or CHP. Just a big old sign with the guy's full name on it as your... I feel like there's more of that per square freeway mile in this particular part of the land than there is almost anywhere else.
You
don't
see that a lot.
I don't... Seems like when I travel and I'm going through Wisconsin or Seattle, I don't see the whatever memorial, highway, you know, interchange, whatever.
Officer James F. whatever memorial.
That is the... That is, first off, you're a politician. You can't really get behind not doing that. But that's also one of those things where it's sort of like negotiating with terrorists, which is the first one of those you hand out. Then when the next guy buys it on the motorcycle, the
you're
cop,
obligated.
You're fucking obligated, right?
Well, our guest is a politician. Maybe we can ask him about not getting behind that.
We will
new political strategy.
We will do that. I'm sure that's going to get him a lot of votes. Amongst the rank and file. I love that. Dylan. Oh. Well, Dylan's off the phone, is he? All right, good. Fuck Dylan. All right. E-voice, baby.
And that was Rob Zombie back in 2014. All right. Let's close off this weekend with another Rotten Tomatoes game. This one from 2019.
Adam Carolla Show 2606 featuring Larry Elder, not in this portion. Although I wish he played the game. I really would like to know what he knows about movies. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. It's Rotten Tomatoes game number 170. It's an Independence Day Blockbusters edition. Hope you guys enjoy.
So coming up this week, we've got a very important anniversary. 243 years ago on Thursday, we'll mark the day we claimed our independence from those filthy, mushy, pea-eating redcoats. What better way to honor our forefathers' memory than with a Rotten Tomatoes game themed around the biggest Independence Day weekend blockbusters? They would be proud.
Mm-hmm.
Our first movie features one of the stars of the movie Independence Day. This film's rich tapestry is dotted with sugar water, single initials, and memory-erasing wonder sticks in a world infiltrated by aliens. Thankfully, we've got Tommy Lee Jones and Jaden Smith's father to save us. In 1997's Men in Black.
The original.
You guys see this?
Yeah. First one was fun. I think people like this.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone likes Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith. It was a romp. It delivered on whatever the advertising is. Although, you know, we weren't in that era where we gave these kinds of movies high marks. We used to turn our nose up at these kinds of movies. This is before, you know, Avengers. Black Panther and Avengers got 99%. So you have to factor that in.
Vincent D'Onofrio killed it as the guy whose body got taken over by the alien.
Yep.
Yeah. Say there's nothing not to like about this, but there's a little snobbery. 81.
Oh.
I went higher. I think this was a hit with the critics and the audience. I said 91.
I said 80.
Men in Black is certified fresh at 92%.
Oh, mother F.
Could have used that.
People had 79.
People 79. Weird.
This next movie.
It's been a long time since someone has hit one on the nose, right?
That's true, yeah, actually.
We've been hovering around it, but we haven't hit it in a while. Now means we're going to do it.
We can change that.
Which now means we're not going to do it. Which now means we're going to... Okay.
I'm dizzy.
Go ahead.
This next movie features one of the stars of Independence Day again. This film's rich tapestry is dotted with sugar water, single initials, and memory-eating wonder sticks. Again, in a world infiltrated by aliens. But thankfully, we've got Tommy Lee Jones and Jaden Smith's father to save us. In 2002's Men in Black 2...
Okay.
I don't know if I was having a stroke or if Dawson was having a stroke.
The bloom is off the rose. They don't like it as much, but, you know, you can drop from 92 to 62. Still very charismatic guys. But did they punish this? Sometimes they really like to come back and spank you. Even if you turn in a C+ or B-, they go, ugh, not nearly as good as the first one. They get all snobby about it. I say... Rotten at 55.
Oh, wow. Went a little higher. Well, a lot higher. I think this is an okay sequel. I remember it being fun, not great, 70.
Oh, wow. I didn't see it. I'm just doing the math with the drop-off math from 92. I said 78.
Men in Black 2 is rotten at 39.
Oh, my God.
And the people had it higher.
That's hurtful.
Yeah, so barely. That's one of those 39. Things where they spanked it. They didn't need to go that low.
It wasn't that bad.
If this movie had been called Men in Black and not Men in Black 2, literally just the first movie, if you really think about it, that's how it should be judged. And what if we've never heard of this franchise?
Judge in a vacuum.
It would have got a 70.
Yeah.
All right.
How could we talk about Independence Day and not include this next movie? Directed by Roland Emmerich, this film tells the story of America the Brave defeating an alien threat from far away. Starring the drunken anti-Semite himself and the late Heath Ledger, 2000's The Patriot.
Never saw it.
Neither.
I have a genre of movies. It's like this and kind of, I don't know, River Runs Through It and stuff like that. Of this genre, it's like I'm not attracted to it.
Did you see Braveheart?
Never saw Braveheart.
It's a great movie.
Everyone tells me it's great. Like,
you'd like Braveheart. Yeah.
I know I would. It's just like a weird genre that I'm not into. Braveheart.
Sweeping epic period pieces.
He's got to finish. What did I say he was watching yesterday? Oh, he's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Sure.
When he's done watching that,
then just watch a certain parts over and over again.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Mel Gibson was not on the no-fly zone at this point. Right.
Was Roland Emmerich in here? Is he the guy? Or Dean Devlin was in here? Sorry. Right?
Yeah.
Dean Devlin?
No, I don't think Dean Devlin was.
Somebody of that.
Because I went to high school with Dean Devlin, and now it makes me wonder if he did come in here or not.
Sorry, I'm doing one of them. The
yes. Anyway, all right. They liked it. I don't know if they like the word patriot, but this is before people were all woke and everything.
Right.
This has an American flag in it. That'd be minus 25 points today.
Well, but
how much retroactive damage can be done?
Probably not that much. Okay. I don't think a lot of people went back.
What year is this?
2000, you say? 2000.
Yeah, this is many years before.
So no one's woke. There's an American flag. There's Mel. There'd be a ton of minus points for Mel and the American flag if this was dropped last Tuesday.
Yeah, and it's called The Patriots.
It's called The Patriots. Shave more points. Mm. But this is before that. So now we're just doing it based on the merits of the film, which I did not see. But I'm going 77%.
I'm very close to you. It's okay. Roland Emmerich was... The critics didn't like him, but critics loved Mel Gibson at this point. He was just on the we were just talking
Hamlet
about.
Or
no, we just Braveheart. Talked about Braveheart. Yes, thank you. So I said 71.
Oh, so I went way too high, I'm sure. I just said 80.
The Patriot is fresh at 61%.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and just tap out.
Barely fresh.
It's okay.
Barely fresh.
And producer of The Patriot, Dean Devlin, was on in 2015.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
This next film tells the story of a young woman trying her best to navigate the crazy demands doled out by Mike Dawson's personal hero, Anna Wintour. It's 2006's Devil Wears Prada.
You see this?
Yep.
Yes.
Good movie.
Good movie.
I like this one.
If you can call this a romantic comedy in any way, this is one of my only exceptions to the romantic comedy rule. I love this movie.
And it's also one of those movies that a good example of better than it should have been. This could have been terrible.
Yep. Great cast, great performances.
Stanley Tucci.
Everything was good about this movie.
All.
Fun movie to watch. And one the critics should enjoy as well, but are we? But it's also had a little bit of a romp to it. You know, so like, are we in the 90s? Some didn't have gravitas or wasn't serious. Nope. It was kind of fun. And Adrian Grenier was in it, so you had to deduct a few points.
I was going
to
say, I actually didn't like his part.
Emily Blunt wasn't Emily Blunt yet.
But she was awesome, right?
She was great.
Yeah.
All right. I say this is the kind of thing the critics like. 91.
I think it's underrated at 83.
I said 89 because of Meryl.
The Devil Prada is certified fresh at 75.
Oh, my God.
Dang.
This is tough.
Underrated
at 75.
Should be more than that.
I agree. I think they thought it was a little too lightweight.
But it's a smart movie, too.
Yeah.
It's well written.
I agree.
This next film features one of this country's most promising and talented young actors. Talking about Jai Courtney, who stars as Kyle Reese alongside Emilia Clarke and the former governor of California in the fifth installment of the Terminator franchise, 2015's Terminator Genesis.
Mm.
I've seen 1.5 of these movies so far.
It's a bad sign. This is the one Terminator film I did not bother to see.
I don't think I bothered to see it either.
Bad sign.
Is this our last one, Dawson?
This is the last one.
I think Brian has a lead, but it's not a big lead. It's just a lead.
I struck out big on the second movie. It's 39 or whatever it was.
Yeah, but he's been slowly gathering me up, and he may have even passed me. He may have gathered me up and passed me. So
what year was this one?
2015.
Okay.
All right, we go big or we go home. I didn't hear anything good, but sometimes movies just are there. It was an 80. No one saw it. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you. I do love the Terminator movies.
Me too.
They're largely pretty good.
All right. I'm swinging toward the ground. I'm going 41.
I went even lower. I went swung lower, 24.
Child's play, both of you. I'm off on one by 40, so I really went big. I said 12.
It's going to be an interesting reveal. Terminator Genesis is rotten at 26%.
Oh. Needed that.
Well, that was you, Brian.
Yeah. Jeez. Hovering, like you said, hovering around those scores.
Yeah.
Am I in triple digits?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say yes.
Gina Grad, you had a good day on the golf course.
That was the last one.
That's it.
That's on me.
These are not my genre.
Well done, Gina.
Thanks.
Under 100.
I'll go get an Arnold Palmer.
Good score of 98.
Yeah, woo! There it is.
Fresh. Certified fresh.
Mm-hmm. Bald Brian coming in at 52, but wasn't enough to stave off the ace man. And the answer is, of course, Adam Carolla, 74.
Wow.
Brian takes the win.
That last one was a big one.
It's the Wasp and Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
That was a fun game.
Was it?
I love a good blockbuster. That clip from 2019. I do love it myself.
I think I saw all of those in the theater.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, right? It's the mass majority of people I've seen them.
I think there's a cutoff. There's people who weren't old enough to see, like, Independence Day in the theater. They just weren't of age. I was, like, at the perfect age to go see that by myself. And, you know, Armageddon, everything after that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Bill Pullman's speech is still rings true and one of the most powerful monologues in the history of cinema. Don't argue.
What about his speech in the sequel?
I know.
It's not as good.
It's not. They try to recapture that lightning in a bottle, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. All right. That will do it for this weekend's Carolla Classics. Thanks again to everybody for hanging out with us. We have a special Carolla show tomorrow. So we went to New York and actually sat down with a few comedians, and we're going to be releasing them throughout the month. Tomorrow you have a real special treat. Dan Soder, who you might know from The Bonfire on Sirius, and Joe List, one of my favorite comedians. Both
Joe List
down.
Is starring in a new movie, Louis C.K. directed.
July,
Dan Soder is on Billions for people.
Oh
who
my gosh,
know.
Yeah, he's on Billions.
Mafi, I think is his character's name. He's also got a killer HBO hour, one of the funniest stand-up hours they've ever done. It's Latter Day. It's really fairly recent, but it's really good.
Yeah, and they're old friends, so it's cool that Adam sat down kind of literally in their territory. With this, we recorded in New York, and they gave Adam the lowdown on being a New York comedian and how it differs from LA, and it was really cool. And they talked about writing jokes and everything too. So
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, make sure to tune in to the Adam Carolla Show tomorrow because I love those guys. All right, that'll do it for this weekend's Carolla Classics. Thank you again for hanging out with us and sharing with a friend and just taking the time to send in requests and be part of the show. We really, really appreciate it. We'll see you next weekend. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Mahalo and get it on.